fundraising committee was created for outside the church. Obviously, we're doing stuff inside the church, but to get stuff outside. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. And don't worry, I knew that there was a lot of stuff, so I kept my message short today. Okay? So we'll get you out in time. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's go to verse 9. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. And one of our ushers will get you one. Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 9. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you and we just bless you. We thank you, God, today for gathering us together. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord, and the bit of news, God. And now we come into your word, God, and we ask you to speak to us, Lord, and draw us to you. We thank you, God, that this is the year that we reap, God, Lord, the things that we've sown, Father. And we come to an area of our lives, God, that are very dear to us. It's the area of relationships. We ask that you would speak to us today, God. Release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, we bless you, God. We thank you so much for this time. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. You know, first of all, I want to say from the get-go that, you know, now my family is finally biblical, right? Finally, after all these years. If you don't know what I mean, my wife last Thursday, changed her name from Lee to Song. Right? And so now I feel like I can go before the presence of the Lord and not be ashamed, you know, that we are now a biblical family. And so passport's coming in a week, right? And so now everything's official. So now I'm free to share this message to you today. And the title is called Relationships. So you guys know our theme that's in the back. Kenny did an awesome job. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. All right, this is the year that we reap. In 2006, we spoke the whole year on relationships. We felt like as a new church, you know, now we got a few years under our belt that we really wanted to grow and develop ourselves in relationships. Most of that was not dealing with a dating type at all. It was just dealing with how to deal with conflict, you know, how to love one another, how to serve each other. You know, I use a lot of materials from the five love languages and other readings, and the whole year we did that. Dean Sherman came and kind of kickstarted everything on relationships, probably written one of the best books on the subject, and we just went for it. I also mentioned during that time that in my history and understanding, and as well as friends of mine that are pastors that started new churches, that it usually takes about 5 years, you know, for brothers and sisters to begin to move beyond being brothers and sisters, if you know what I mean, you know. And so this is year five, you know. This is where it hopefully starts happening. We've seen people get married within the church and whatnot. And so this message is really geared towards single people. Okay, and so if you're married today, man, praise God, you know, God bless you. Just, you know, as I share and speak, you know, you can just give a loud amen because you agree with what I'm saying, you know, and pray for our singles at our church. Now, all to say, as I share on this, if you're single, it doesn't mean you're a loser. Okay, I just have to lay it out right away, really quick. Okay. It doesn't mean that, like, you got some problems, you know, and, like, you know, you're just jacked up or something like that. It doesn't mean anything like that. And so please don't take anything that way. But we believe, right, in the scriptures that God would like us to get married. Not all of us, you know, because some of you may have a gift of celibacy, you know. And if you are one of those types of people, then, you know, praise God. You have more to serve the Lord with, more time to. But I would gather probably about 99.8% of us at this church, you know. I mean, I leave some room for God, right? So I take off the point two. But about 99.8% of us would probably like to get married as well and probably do not have the gift of celibacy, you know. And that really is in the Bible, okay, and things. And so, you know, we read Ecclesiastes says two is better than one. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor from the Lord. Right? I mean, wow. You know, he who finds a good, it's a good thing and favor from God. I mean, just the fact that you got married and you find a good wife, there's favor from the Lord that comes. You know, Genesis chapter 2, if you ever heard me give a message at a wedding. By the way, I'm developing new messages. I've been getting too many complaints, you know, that, hey man, you only got one message. Well, alright, I'm working on it, so don't worry, okay? You know, this year it'll be all new. Right? In Genesis 2:18 it says, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Right? And remember, couched in this context, you know, Adam, he had perfect fellowship with God, perfect fellowship with nature, perfect fellowship with the animals. I mean, this guy was missing nothing in his life. He was in the Garden of Eden, you know, in absolute, I mean, beautiful harmony. And God said, it's not good for you to be alone, Adam. Let me make a helper suitable for you. Notice it wasn't Adam that said, man, God, I'm pretty lonely. You know, I'm sick of talking to the lion and the giraffe, you know. I want to hang out with my own kind, Lord. He was content. He was happy. Right? And God said, it's not good for him to be alone. Right? You know, he created a vacuum in our heart that only another person can fill, right, of the opposite sex. Right? And that's how God arranged this whole thing. But we also understand that, you know, relationships and love, man, it's a complete mystery. Complete mystery. You know, Pascal, right, he says that heart has reasons that reason cannot know. You know, there's just something about our emotions and our mind and the way we think and, you know, the way we act and operate, you know, that a lot of times just doesn't make sense. You know, our heart just moves through its own heartbeat. You know, we understand that. You know, and this is, you know, part of our fallenness, but it's part of our quirkiness. And so many of us, I mean, I just want to get really honest. So many of us, we have so many fears, you know, regarding this idea of relationships and marriage. You know, what if I date the wrong guy? What if I date the wrong girl? You know, what if I get married to the wrong guy? What if I get married to the wrong girl? You know, it just goes on, and then we're so racked in fear that one is we can't be the community that God calls us to. You know, we can't be the people of God in this way. And sometimes, you know, those fears are also real, you know. I mean, you just might get stuck with somebody. You know what I mean? I'm just throwing right that you just, it's never going to work. Give some illustration. There's this businessman. He was on this flight, you know, and the plane's about to take off, and this young man hurries into the plane and sits next to him, you know, and, you know, as a small talk, he says, oh, hey, are you here for business or pleasure? And the young man says, oh, pleasure, you know, says, I'm on my honeymoon. Right? And the businessman looks and says, hey, where's your wife? Oh, she's two rows back, you know, the plane was so full and we're late, and so we couldn't, you know, get seats next to each other. And the businessman really heard him. Oh, it's okay. You know, you want me to move? Your wife can move over here and sit next to me? He goes, no, it's okay. I talked to her the whole week. You know, and so we don't need to sit with her anymore, right? You might get stuck with someone like that, right? I mean, you never know, right? You never know. And things, and so, I mean, so some fears are not necessarily good, but they're also a check in our hearts, right? You know, in some of these ways. You know, this whole idea of love and these things, it's a complete, complete mystery, right? How relationships work. You know, the divorce rate is over 50% in the United States. You know, I actually heard recently that it's over 50% in South Korea, right? I mean, it's crazy. And this is Christians and non-Christians. But especially Christians. Actually, the last study that came out from the Pew study said that the Christians, 51% of Christians get divorced. 50% of non-Christians in the United States get divorced. I mean, we're winning a battle that we shouldn't be winning, right, in that regard. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And love, in a lot of ways, is a mystery. You know, it's a mystery. I heard this story of one of my best friends back in California. You know, we were talking. We went on a triple date together while we were there a little while ago. And he was mentioning about this guy that was, you know, from his church. And when he was going to his honeymoon, you know, he got upgraded to business class, you know. And so, but he took the upgrade. And he left his wife back in economy, right? And you know, I mean, you think like, you know, yeah, first of all, you should never do that, right? You're on your honeymoon, right? But the guy did it, and he tells the story to everybody, right? Well, they've been happily married for over 15 years, right? They have, well, how many, 5 kids or something? I mean, they got tons of kids. I mean, it's a complete mystery, you know, of how these things work out. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, there's something about that. Let me tell you about the story of this guy. There's a guy that I know, right? He started dating this girl, and they started going out, you know, and everything was going well. He was away on business for about 3 or 4 months, you know, for a big chunk right when they started dating. But he would call every day, you know, and they'd talk on the phone for hours, and relationship was going, and he was just waiting for the day when his kind of trip was over, you know, so he can come back, and now they can spend time together and get to know one another and grow and stuff like that. Well, the day that this guy gets back, you know, he goes to a Christmas party, you know, that this church is having, picks up his girlfriend, and on the way home, the girlfriend says, "Let's break up." I mean, just out of the blue, for no known reason, you know. And luckily, this guy stuck to his guns and would not let her get out of the car until she gave a good reason of why they should break up. You know, if you know, that's me. That's what happened to my wife and I, you know. I mean, I drove so fast down, I'm waiting for this thing, you know, and I pick her up from this party, right, and then on the way home, she goes, "You know what, let's break up." It's like, what? And we were in the car for like 4 hours. I would not let her get out of the car until she gave me one good reason why we should break up, right? And she didn't and stuff. So it's a mystery, you know? 8 years now, right? And 2 kids. And I mean, you know, God's, you know, God's good. God's good. I also heard this other story, right, about this couple. And, you know, they were on their honeymoon, right? And the guy, for some reason, the first night of the honeymoon, does an all-nighter. Right, is working. I'm not going to say the names, don't worry, right? Working all night on some project that's not even his, it's a friend's project. And he doesn't even get paid for it, right? I mean, how would you like to be married to that guy, right? Well, I'm not going to say his name, but he's at our church and stuff. So, but I mean, obviously, you know, happy, they got a beautiful kid. I'm not going to say what sex it is. Everyone's thinking, oh, what is it, right? And, you know, obviously, God's doing some stuff. Love is a mystery, right? You know, I also know another person that, you know, when the couple were dating and during, you know, finally it was time to meet the parents, you know, in this couple. And so the woman goes to the house of, you know, the boyfriend, and the mom invites her in. And basically the rest of the evening, she cleans the floors and, you know, I mean, it's just all kind, I mean, just crazy stuff, right? And they're happily married. You know, well, it's a miracle they got married in the first place, but on top of that, they're very happily married and also have a kid and go to our church, you know. And I mean, it's amazing, right? I mean, it's a mystery of how all this stuff works out. And I can tell you more stories, but if I get more in detail, the rest of this message, you're going to be thinking about, I wonder who that is, and, you know, all these things. And so it's a mystery. Today, this message actually is a compilation. And what I did this week is I asked some of our married couples at our church, I asked them to give advice to single people at church. Kind of, and the way I couched this advice, like, if you were, you know, now that you're married, and, you know, to give advice to singles that you wish you knew while you were dating, you know. And so this message actually is a compilation of some. And there was a lot of good feedback that came. Some of it actually was geared towards marriage, you know, but I picked the ones that were geared towards dating, right? And so we came with this, and I know this sounds very youth groupy and whatnot, but, you know, I wanted to make it a little bit more fun for you guys, because it is a serious topic, you know. And I mean, we can laugh and that kind of stuff, but yeah, I know that it's difficult for a lot of us, right? It really strikes the core of our esteem, you know. And you know, and as the clock ticks, and you get, as Asians, you get pressure from your family and pressure from friends and from community, and you know, and pressure from your pastor, and you know, and all these things, you know. Even though there's no pressure from me, man, you know, I just pray for you, you know, and stuff, but. I mean, we can understand that it's, you know, I mean, I feel you, right? I mean, I really do, I feel you. You know, I don't pity you, you know, I don't look down on you, but, you know, I was there as well, you know, and I ask myself all the questions that you're asking right now, you know, and having gone through this stage, you know, I think I have a little bit of wisdom that we can share with you, you know, and especially a lot of the married couples at church, you know, a bit of wisdom that we can share with you. And so just please just take it at that, right? And let's see how it goes. And so what I did, I just came up with five kind of different sayings. This is by no way an exhaustive list or anything like that. Or actually, I made it four, you know, time-wise. I had to cut some stuff out. But, you know, just kind of things, you know, what not to do. And I just listed as different things, right? So number one, this is who you don't want to be, right? Number one, don't be Fast Freddy and Fran. Fast Freddy and Fran, okay? What I mean by this is simply slow down. If you're in a relationship, slow down. Don't hurry the process. You know, enjoy the courtship. You know, enjoy, you know, the time that you have. You know, savor getting to know one another and stop focusing on, is this person the one, you know? We're like, is this the one? Criteria? No, it's not the one. Forget it, you know, and you move on, right? Slow down. Take it easy. You know, I mean, you know how difficult it is to carry on a relationship anyway? And then you add the added dimension of the wedding and marriage looming over. I mean, not looming, it's more like a weight on you, right? You know, and you're so projected and so focused on marriage that you don't enjoy and don't give God the time to speak to you really about just enjoying, right, the courtship. You know, enjoying getting to know one another. You know, enjoying hanging out with each other. You know, enjoy, you know, learning about the other person and then engaging in activities that the other person likes. Right? Just slow down. Take it easy. You know, you don't need this pressure of marriage in a relationship because it'll kill it. You know, it'll kill it before it even begins. You know, and you know, myself and, you know, a lot of the marriages at our church, we find that many singles, you know, many of us at church, we're too focused on the end result. You know, we're just so focused on that we don't focus ourselves on the relationship. You know, we put too much priority in marriage. You know, and I mean, and I don't mean that in a good way, right? I mean in a bad way, right? We're just so focused on the marriage. You know, is this person it? God, is this the one that you have for me? You know, and we're just so fixated on that we easily check off people that don't fit our mold, you know, but not realizing that things change all the time. It always changes, you know. Don't try to answer that first question in the first breath when you meet someone. Is this one marriage material, you know? Is this the marriage type, right? Will this man provide for me and my 8 kids that I'm going to have and allow me to go to grad school and pay for my tuition and, you know, and all, I mean, all these things. Take it easy, man, right? You know, when you meet someone, you know, when you put this pressure, you really don't give that relationship a chance. Give it a fair shot. You know what I mean? Patience. Slow down. Have you ever heard the phrase, a diamond in the rough? You know? I mean, think about that. I mean, what we're looking for, polished people. You know what? None of us are polished enough. You know, I mean, simply put. But love and relationship, you get to know people, man, and they begin to change in front of your eyes. Right? Because in the beginning, it's all surface stuff, right? And it takes a little time to just break down the stuff that we can just see with our eyes and surface levels to get deep into the person. You know, and you may see some incredible, beautiful things inside that person that may be shrouded in a facade, you know. It's a kind of prejudice. You know what I mean? You look at someone and you have this kind of idea, and you know, and then the end result happens. It's not good, right? And so if you know, obviously you're praying, right? And you find something, get to know that person, in a group setting, in different kind of settings, and you know, ask them out for coffee. I mean, I'll get to that in a little bit, right? And stuff, and just enjoy, you know, spending time. Now, flip side, right? Now, 10 years down the road, okay, you enjoy too much. Make a decision right away, right? I mean, you know, come on, right? That's a little too much and stuff. And so, you know, I mean, you know, let things kind of develop organically. And it could happen really fast, you know, but just take the marriage thing and just lay it down for a second, right? And just get to know the other person a little better. Does that sound okay? Don't be fast spreading friend, right? Number two, this is actually a good one, right? First three, don't be stuck up Steve or Sally, right? Stuck up Steve and Sally. You know, let me just tell you this straight up, all right? Ladies, if some guy comes to you at church and asks you out for coffee, he's not asking you to get married. you know what I mean? He's just asking you, he just wants to get, it's so harmless. You know, but so many of us, we, you know, got this facade, you know, we just put it, because don't be stuck up, man. You know, don't, you know, someone at church, you know, in the back of the room, you know, ladies, right, some guy asks you, hey, would you like, you know, me to pour some juice to you, and says hello, doesn't mean he want to get married to you either, right? I mean, really. I trust me, in the years I've been in church, I've seen it so many times, right? You know, and then we're like, oh, that guy's hitting on me. I was like, really? I think he's just trying to be a nice guy. I mean, don't you want a nice guy as a husband, right? You know, but we put so much pressure on ourselves in these things, you know. Don't be stuck up, right? Just take it easy, you know. Give people a chance, right? I mean, you know, sometimes in a lot of ways we're ruined by criteria, right? You know, I mean, we all have lists, right? We all have things that we want, you know, in our mate, and there's really nothing wrong with that per se, you know, as long as it's biblical, right? You know, I mean, if you're sitting there and you're a lady and you're like, well, you know, I want 6'3", you know, 6'3", you know, 180 pounds, you know, big chest, working in the banking industry, right? You know, I'd like for him to, speak English fluently without any accent. You know what I mean? Or you know, and like have, you know, a shoe size of 8, you know, or, you know, all these kind of things. That, you know, he's got X amount of money in his bank account and, you know, reached this level of professionalism or success in his life and whatnot. I mean, come on, you know. Some of our criteria we can definitely push away. I knew a girl. This is a true story. I knew a girl that had a criteria for a husband that was 10 pages long. Handwritten, right? 10 pages long, right? I mean, just absolutely incredible. And so, I mean, come on, you know, let's get real, right? Really, don't be stuck up, right? You know, sometimes we use worldly standards. You know, we look at looks. You know, we look at job, or we look at style, you know, or money, or these kind of things, instead of the fruit of the Spirit, instead of character, instead of a desire to please God, you know, these type of things. You know, listen very carefully, right? People change jobs. People eventually will get promoted, you know? You know what I mean? And stuff, and people will change vision as well. But there's something about character, right? There's something about the inner person, you know? And so, you know, when you're, you know, and those criteria are coming out, it's not necessarily, well, I need my husband or someone to work at Goldman Sachs and, you know, make this kind of, no, you should be looking for, well, is my husband, is this person, is he a hardworking person? Is this person keep to his promises? You know, this person, is he diligent? You know, is he trustworthy? Can I trust, you know, depend on him? you know, and go from there, right? You know, I mean, if we just, you know, cross people off our list or criteria because of their job or their vocation or something, it changes all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it this way. Would you rather have, you know, a banker, you know, and you know, I guess it's kind of a prestigious kind of occupation in the world that we live in. You know, someone that does that but is so busy, travels all the time, is never going to be home, is never going to be around your kids. You know what I mean? You know, or would you, you know, simply have some, you know, and I don't want to rate jobs or anything, you know, so there's no plumbers in here, right? So plumber, right? You know, a guy that's a plumber, but man, this guy's a dang good plumber, you know? And he works hard, and he has a good business, and he has good work ethic, and he's trustworthy, and he's dependable. You know what I mean? I mean, just weigh the things, and we are sometimes so stuck up in our standards and whatnot that we lose sight of that. You know, I mean, I had to give props to my wife. You know, I tell you something, my wife, we got married. I didn't even have a job. You know, I mean, I wasn't working. You know, I was volunteering at church and I was serving in these things. But my wife, you know, she saw past all that, you know, and she saw a hardworking guy. You know, I didn't have a job because I couldn't get a job, you know. And so, you know, it's because this is what God called me to for this season of my life. You know, and she saw the different qualities, you know, that, you know, yeah, I am dependable, you know, and that, you know, I will be able to support a family, you know, because, not necessarily because of the job or something, but it's because it's who I am. You know what I mean? I'm not bragging about myself, and don't think that way, you know, but I am dependable. You know, I do work hard, and I do have a strong work ethic, you know, taught to me by my own father. You know, and so, and these things are what you should be looking for. Because you know what? That guy that's making $1 million, man, he could lose his job like that, right? You don't believe me? Lehman Brothers, right? You know, look at all the banks that just happened a little while ago. I mean, just, it's just crazy, right? And there goes all the stuff that you put your, you know, you put your emphasis on. You know, so don't be stuck up, you know, regarding that. You know, don't write people off because of, you know, his finances or his vocation or his vision. All these things change. You know, and especially even in a Christian realm too. You know, when I was a seminary student, and there's a lot of pressure in seminary to find a wife, you know, and a husband and whatnot, right? Because you're training and doing all these things, and so that's all we talked about, right? My friends and I, and stuff, and what we made the mistake of in the Christian world, we made the mistake of, you know, kind of canceling people out because of vision. You know, because myself and a bunch of other friends of mine at that same time, we all wanted to go to the mission field. You know, that was kind of our calling. And so we'd meet someone and be a really nice girl, you know, and everything would be cool. And then we'd start, and we'd have that talk about, well, what do you want to do, you know, for the rest of your life? You know, and if the person didn't say missions, see ya! And I moved on to something else, right? I mean, really, I mean, I canceled like at least about 11 people, right? You know, just saying... She was 12, so you know what I mean. And I'm being really honest. And my friends did that as well. You know, a lot of really well-meaning people. You know, godly men and women of God, right? They just missed that one word. Oh, you didn't say that. Okay, forget it. You know, or you know, I mean, I can't tell you too many stories because it's gonna take forever. And so we need to, you know, be aware of that, right? And even, like, because we're so superficial a lot of times, even style, you know? Well, that person doesn't dress the way that... You can change the way they dress. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, this person's not hip enough or something. You can buy them gel. You know, or, you know, we can change... I mean, there are all kinds of stuff. There's this... I mean, I feel embarrassed to even say it, but... There's this show that I watch once in a while, you know, and it's, I don't know, I think it's called Beauty and the Geek or something like that, but it's just hilarious. And these guys come in and they are the ugliest, most obscure, you know, I mean, just crazy guys. And they have they do a makeover. Man, you know, it's like night and day. You know, I mean, it's pretty incredible. And so don't focus on that. You can change their style, you know. You know, you can, you know, you can shop at different stores, and you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff can happen. And so, yeah, I mean, don't be stuck up. I mean, that's really the bottom line, right? You know, things change all the time. And so what I want to say about don't being stuck up is look beyond what you see with your eyes, right? And look into the person. How that's going to happen? Point number one, it needs time, right? You need a little time to do that, right? So don't be stuck up. Was it stuck up? What was that? Steve and Sally, right? Number three, don't be desperate Dan and Diane, right? Don't be desperate Dan and Diane. Now, what I mean by that is don't lower your standards because the clock is ticking. Right? You know, when people are desperate, they do stupid things, right? You know, when you're pressured or on the gun, right? You're bound to make a mistake. So don't be desperate. Remember, God has a helper suitable for you, right? In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, right? It's not good for you to be alone, right? Says God, right? I mean, didn't God say that to Adam? You know, and he's a lot happier than you guys are, right? You know, he's a much better place than we are. And he says, not good. God has someone in mind for you. So don't be desperate, you know? Because, I mean, let me just give you this little tip here, right? You know, as a man, you know, I mean, when I was dating and stuff like that, you know, when a girl was desperate, man, major turnoff. On the flip side, right, you know, when a guy is so desperate, you know, and wants to get married, oh, man, major turnoff to women. You know, I assume I'm not a woman, but I've heard, right? It's just like, you know, it's always like, you know, I mean, they have words for stuff like that. It's called a stalker, right? You know? Always calling, always, you know, and you don't want to walk into stuff like that, right? Remember, God is a helper suitable. Enjoy your singleness and your freedom. Trust me, I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen, you know, as people get a bit older or they've been waiting for so long, right? And some guy shows up or some girl shows up, and they're like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, this person. But because they so want to get married and so desperate, they give it a shot. And, you know, and I could have told them from day one, like, come on, that person's an idiot, you know? You don't want it. I mean, for various reasons, right? Come on. You know, or a lot of times people, you know, betray their own convictions, you know? I mean, as Christians, right? And then we just, you know, I mean, now, let me just say this straight out, all right? The Bible is very clear on the idea of, you know, about marriage. The Bible says that you're not to be unequally yoked, right? And so we're not to marry a non-believer. The Bible is very clear about that. The Bible says nothing about dating. In fact, seriously, the Bible says nothing about dating. There is no dating in the Bible, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, we take, because back then, what happened is people got, you know, parents put people together, you know, and they got married, right? And sometimes they never even saw each other, you know, before their wedding date, and those kind of happen. I'll say this though, right? It's unequally yoked, you know, and so in a dating relationship, and my views have changed over the years. I would say this with a grain of salt, right? You know, if you are dating a non-believer, if you want to date a non-believer, you know, I mean, I would recommend not doing that. Not just straight up, right? You know? But at the same time, I wouldn't say it's impossible. You know, I've seen a handful of relationships that worked out well where a person was dating a person that was a non-believer, you know, and before they got married, you know, over the course of the relationship, the person got saved. You know, and in some of these relationships, the person that was a non-believer is actually more mature now than the other person, right? But it takes a certain quality in that Christian, you know? It takes a lot of strength, and it takes a lot of vision, and it's not for everyone, right? And so this is not a license, because I know that, you know, sometimes I say things, there's some weight attached to it. This is not a license for you to now go and date wherever you, you know, and whatnot, but there's something, you know, of a strong character in that believer, right, to really go through this missionary dating thing. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that. It hardly ever works. It works sometimes, but it takes a vision of God. And in these particular instances where I've seen it work, you know, when I've talked, and it was mostly women that dated non-Christian guys. In those instances, right, they had heard something from the Lord, you know, that this was, but they didn't say that to the person. They didn't pressure the person. They just hung on to their convictions, hung on to their beliefs, and just waited and prayed in the other person, and then they got saved and doing very, very well in the Lord. Right, and so, but again, it's very rare, right? And so I need to give you the whole picture here, you know, in this thing. And so, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, you know, but grow during this season. You know, God has you single for a reason, right? He wants you to be whole. And so enjoy that time, right? I mean, enjoy it, you know. Don't rush it. Don't, you know, move it too quickly. And in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of times we're in our desperate state, or because we have this Disney syndrome. You know what I mean? You know Disney, right? They do all these things, and it's like, you know, guys are looking for Cinderella, you know, and the girls are looking for Prince Charming, and there's this lie that says that, well, if only God, you bring that person into my life, I'll be happy and I'll be whole. No, it doesn't work that way. That's why it's Disney, right? It's a cartoon, you know, Pixar, right? It's not real life. The idea is that you become whole and you become happy, right, in your singleness. You know, and that's really what we're going after. And that's why we're having the Inner Healing Conference and doing these kind of things, right? You know, listen very carefully. Two half people do not make a whole. It makes a horrible relationship. Two whole people come together, right? And they make a beautiful partnership. That's what it's really about. And so enjoy this time that you have. You know, allow God to minister to you, right? You know, don't put all your eggs in one basket and Cinderella and Prince Charming and these things. Be aware of that. They will not fill those holes in your life. Only God can fill those holes. And God wants to fill those holes in your life because He wants you to be whole. Okay, last one, number four. Don't be and don't mess with touchy Ted and Tina. Right? Touchy Ted and Tina. Now, when I say this, and this is my prerequisite, I say this. I don't mind you dating at church. You know, I think there's something going on with this mic here. Something changed a little bit. I don't know what happened. You know, but in this, you know, don't... I recommend, I mean, I really do, I recommend that you date in church, you know, that you get to know each other, you know, dinners and group meetings and this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, what better place to meet your spouse than at church? Right, Kiwan? Come on. Give me an amen, brother. Right? You know, myself, my wife, and we met each other at church, and Peter and Yuli met at church. You know, Daniel and Sophia getting married in April, they met themselves at church. You know, I mean, you know, it's. I mean, it's a great place, right? And okay, not gonna say anything, right? You know, and all these things are happening and whatnot. Sorry again, right? You know, and James and Porter, I'm in the back. They met at church, and I mean, what a great place to, you know, to find that person, you know, like-minded, you know, same family, church family, and leading the other stuff. I mean, it's a great. So we want that to happen. Now, it doesn't mean that when you do it, it's going to be successful. You know what I mean? You know what? One of the things in premarital counseling that we talk about, you know, that if a couple goes through premarital counseling, at the end of the 4 weeks, they decide they're not going to get married, we look at it as a success. Right? We really do. We think, wow, that was a successful pre-counseling session because they didn't make the biggest mistake of their life. It's good, right? And so you meet someone, you know what I mean, and you get to know that person. At church, and you find out, well, you know, yeah, maybe it's not just, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, right? Because remember, love is a mystery. For whatever reason, you know, decide not to, it's okay. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to be marked now. You know, and I've heard people say, you know that one bullet theory, that's such a crock, right? You know, and so, like, if I'm, you know, Nelly's in the front row, so if I, you know, let's say I'm single, I go for Nelly, right, and it doesn't work out, right? And so then I go for Leanne, and it doesn't work out, right? And then I go for Catherine, and it doesn't work out, and, you know, and then you find the one, right? Right, and then maybe then it's Juhi, and then, you know, Juhi, and you know, and so Juhi can look at it this way. She can look at it as like, man, you, like, went all over the, you know, it's like, what am I, fourth choice, you know, kind of thing, You know the way I look at it, right? That the person tried everything and now came to the best. No? You guys are not buying it? I don't know. I mean, really, that's really how I look at it, right? You know, like you did your due diligence, right? Let me use your business term since we got so many business-minded people. You did your due diligence, and then you found the prize, right? Nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, nothing wrong with that, except this. You know what will keep or what will bring harm to the body of Christ when we talk about this thing? Is sexual immorality. It really is, right? This is one thing that will really bring a wedge, you know, and it'll be, you know, tough to look at the person again, you know. I mean, really, right? This is a serious thing. Let me read some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." The word immorality, right, is the Greek word porneia. Obviously, we get the word pornography from, or porn. You know, and what this is talking about illicit sexual intercourse, right, or illicit sex in some ways. This word porneia has actually a really broad meaning. One of the meanings, you know, or the exact metaphor is actually about idolatry. Porneia really is idolatry with your body. You know, when we think about the manifestation of idolatry for us is like eating foods of idols, you know, a lot of the context, especially in Corinthians, is dealing with that. You know, or bowing down to idols. Well, porneia really is talking about the idolatry of the flesh, the idolatry of the body. You know, partaking something and lifting that up that is not really something to be lifted up. Right? Remember we talked about, I think last week we talked about the essence of idolatry is you know, entertaining thoughts about God that are not unworthy of Him, right? It's grabbing a part of a relationship that's not really where it's at yet. It happens in a marriage covenant, you know, and then you get to enjoy, right? And it becomes blissful and glorious and all these things, but when we do it before marriage, not only are we breaking the commandments, but you're putting a wedge in the relationship. I'm telling you, something happens emotionally, physically, you know, all kinds of... I mean, if you don't believe me, look in the TV shows that you watch. You know, I mean, people know that as soon as a friend sleeps with a friend, they're no longer friends anymore. You know, I mean, I watched enough Friends and Seinfeld episodes to figure that out, right? You know, I mean, they know there is a line that you cross, and once you cross that line, you can never go back. You know, and a lot of times relationships are ruined. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate that things like this happen and stuff. And so in a family setting, you know, in a church setting, and even outside of that, you have to be vigilant, you know, on this case. And he says, flee porneo, flee immorality, you know, flee from sexual, and the word really is sexual immorality, right? That's the word in the Greek and stuff. And so you need to be aware of this. It says, every sin that a man commits outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. What you're really doing is you're hurting yourself more than anything else. If you're in a relationship, right, and some guy says, "Man, I love you, sleep with me." Man, you let me know, right? I have the right hand of God, right? You know, reserved for that sucker. I mean, that's just crazy. But how many times have you heard that in this world? All the time. You know, that forces you to do something, or a lot of times it comes from the insecurity. You feel like, well, if I don't do this and the person's not going to like me, well, I think you laid the wrong foundation there, right? And you got to be very careful, right, of how this works in our lives. You know, stay away from guys and girls who push the boundaries, right, who push the envelope in this thing. Love, friends, is waiting, right? Love, this is what it's about. Immorality, sexual immorality at its root, is selfishness, right? I'm not willing to wait because I need to be satisfied, right? It's the root is selfishness, you know, and it goes against what love is about. Love is about wanting the best for the other person, right? Immorality is about wanting the quick fix right now, you know, and so don't be touchy Ted and Tina, right? This is not something that you want, you know? Doesn't care for the other person, but really cares for themselves. A true love relationship is putting the other person first before yourself. That's what true love is, right? You know, and I'll say this as a commentary, okay? And And I know that we, a lot of people at church do this all the time, no matter how much I discourage it. You know, if you're not married, you don't have a right to go on vacation together. I just say straight up, right? Who do you think you are, right? You're not married. You know, I mean, you know, and I mean, I see the pictures, and, you know, Facebook is like a guilty, I mean, don't, you know, it's like, don't even put those pictures on there, man, because you look like an idiot, right? And honestly, you bring a lot of shame to our church in that way. Don't do that kind of stuff. That's not what Solomon's Porch is about. You're not married. You know what I mean? Why are you acting like a married couple? Give me a break. You know, if you're really serious, go get married, right? And then go on vacation and holiday and do all those things that you want to do, right? You know, I mean, be very diligent. The Bible says, be, you know, clear of every appearance of evil. Every appearance of evil, right? You know, be vigilant about that. You know, be very clear. Be very honest. And let's really be honest, you know. Why? Because, yeah, you can sleep in the same bed and you can do all, come on. You know, you're just making an excuse. Come on, let's be very real, you know. And stuff, or if you must, right? You know, and I'm very discouraged, but get two separate hotel rooms. You know, keep the appearance very real. You know, or go in groups. You know, I mean, you got brothers and sisters, go in groups. I mean, even a better way. You know, if you must holiday or do stuff together. I mean, trust me, that's good advice, man. That's very good advice. You know, my wife and I, couldn't even think about this. When we came to Hong Kong, you know, and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like anathema. You know, I mean, to the way we grow, anathema is like the worst curse, right, in the Bible, right? You know, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, it's just crazy, right? There are some things, friends, that are reserved for marriage, that are reserved for a covenant relationship, you know, that are not to be broken, you know, before that. You know, let there be something special about going on your honeymoon. You know what I mean? I mean, let there be something special about your first night together. You know, let there be something holy and spiritual and loving, you know, about those times, right? You know, I mean, you know, just be very aware of those things, right? They're really pushing the boundaries, acting like a married couple without the commitment, right? That's not what it's about. It's a recipe for disaster. So don't be touchy Ted and Tina, you know? And trust me, right? You keep these boundaries intact, man, you'll be blessed. You know what I mean? God puts things in the scriptures and he tells us, you know, and he asks us to live a certain way. Right, not to make us harmful or to bring us down, but to make our lives blessed. Right? He speaks to us to give us joy in the fullness of these things. You know what I mean? I mean, easy case in point, right? You know, my relationship with my wife and I. God says, do not commit adultery. Right? It's a good word. You know, and what am I saying? Like, God, I can do whatever I want, man. You know, I'm a busy guy and stuff, and you know, and these things happen, and my wife sometimes, you know, because she's pregnant or something, I need to go, you know, get done stuff. You know, we can complain, but you know what happens when we commit adultery? Our relationship is shattered. Trust that we build just destroyed in an instant. You know what I mean? Never can come back to that place. I mean, such harm and the level of intimacy that God had designed for our marriage, for our lives, will never get to that height again. It may, but it's going to go through a lot of hell before it gets to that place in advance. And see, God wants such an intimacy with you and your spouse to grow and to flourish. He wants lovemaking and these things to be the most wonderful, you know, the most fulfilling time of your life. You know, so he says, you know what? Don't have sex before marriage. Don't have sex with someone else outside of your spouse when you are married. Because if you do, God in his wisdom says, man, there's going to be some bad stuff coming your way. You know, so he says, as my son and daughter, you know, just wait. Because that's really what love is about anyway. You know, that's really what it's about. You know, and so in church, you know, meet people, you know. I mean, I'm really serious, right? I mean, you know, I'm like this short of having a dating game or something at church just to like spruce things up, man. I just... You know, just take it easy, you know. For ladies, you know, be nicer to the guys. I mean, really, you know, I hear too many complaints. Like, yeah, our guys are a bunch of wimps, you know, and these things. Well, it may be true, but take it easy, right? You know, and the flip side, you know, guys, I don't know what guys, you know, take a chance. You know what I mean? You never know. Take that chance, could very well be your wife. Who knows, right? But you don't have to answer the question in the first, you know, meeting or the first hello, right? You know, you guys feeling what I'm saying, right? When we talk about this, above all else, pray. Pray. Right? Now, once you pray, get off your knees and go do something. Right? I'm serious, you know? You prayed, okay. There's some of us that we just keep praying and we just think God's just going to come and bam! You know, the Lord sent me. I'm your husband. Hallelujah! You know? You pray. When you get off your knees, look to see how God is answering your prayers. Right? You know? It'd be good to be well-groomed, clean. Yeah, you know? Healthy, exercise. You know, all that stuff. Now, it's not to mean, I'm not talking about being thin. I'm not talking about any of these things. But it's a proven fact that exercise makes you feel good about yourself. You know? And that's what projects. Right? And I mean, it's just important stuff, right? You know, look around after you pray. Don't just stay on your knees and just, oh God, please bring me, you know. Pray and look around. It's just God may be bringing that person. He may be sitting right next to you. She may be sitting right next to you. Who knows? Across the aisle. Who knows? You know, but I tell you this. I'm going to say this just short of a prophetic word. I mean, just short of that. You know, but I really get a sense that there's going to be a lot of weddings this year. I know that I just put pressure on people, you know, that's not my intention, but I just really, as I've been praying in the morning, I just really got a sense, and what I've been praying stuff, that it's just going to happen organically, right? You know, it's like, you know, it takes about 5 years, right? You know, you grow together as a family, and brothers and sisters, and you just look at them as brothers and sisters, and then one day you're like, ooh, that guy's pretty cool, you know, oh, that girl, she's all right. Right, you go on a mission trip together, you serve together, and you're involved, and you do things, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this person's not who I thought this person was, right? Believe it or not, I mean, I know, this is unbelievable, right? You know when my wife and I first met, you know she didn't like me, right? In fact, I think she really, really didn't like me, right? Unfathomable, but it can happen to anyone, right? It can happen to me, it can happen to anyone, right? And stuff, and you know, and when we first met, you know, I was not attracted to her at all, right? I'm being very honest. Obviously, she's a very beautiful woman, right? We all know that, right? You know, and stuff, but the physical attraction thing didn't happen until much later, as God is my witness, you know, but it's really, I think for me, one of the clinchers that happened was we were sitting at the church office, I think, where there was discipleship, and she came and sat down and just began to ask me things in the Bible. Because I was a pastor, right? You know, she began to ask me, hey, you know, the Bible, what's this and that? And I thought, there's a woman that really wants to know the Word of God. You know, and after that, it was like, and then I said, oh, actually, she's pretty good looking. You know, and it just kind of grew from that. I mean, you know, give people a chance. Don't go by that first impression and things that we do. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom includes marriage and family. Let's close our eyes. Again, this is not exhaustive, right? This is just a few bullet points and related to, right, the year of the reaping. What we sense God wants to do in the midst of our lives. Revisit old themes and we reap. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him really deal and minister in your heart. I'm going to just say a prayer for you right now. The worship team is going to lead us in a quick song, and then I'm going to close in prayer. And so, Father, I ask God that You would bless, Lord, our married couples at church, our dating couples, Lord, our future couples. God, and come and bless, Lord God, our singles, Lord, especially. Lord, let them enjoy this time, God. Let them really be able, Lord, to embrace, Father God, this season of life. Lord, and let them understand that, Lord, this is just preparation time. And so help them, God. Lord, if many are discouraged, I pray that you'd encourage them. If many are feeling lonely, I pray that the body of Christ would come together. Lord, do something significantly, God, in their lives, Lord. Love them, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing together.
Lord, it was you. Created the heavens. Lord, it was your hand to put the stars in their place. Lord, it is your voice that commands the to your majesty. I am your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom.
Father, we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We, God, are looking forward, God, to what you're going to do in our lives this year, Lord, that we're going to reap, God. Lord, we have sown, God, and we're continuing to sow. And so, Lord, we ask for, God, a fulfillment, God, of the promises would be, Lord, come into fruition over our lives, Father. Lord, bless the singles at our church, God. Lord, let them know, Lord, that they are incredibly loved, God. Let them know, Lord God, that yes, it's not good for them to be alone, and that you are working, God, that you are moving in their life. And if they're discouraged, encourage them, God. Or if they're downfallen, lift them up, Lord. God, and make them whole in this season. God, let them enjoy this time, God. Lord, we pray for organic relationships to just flourish and flow. We pray, God, that we be vigilant, God, to be pure and be holy during these times, Lord. Or that we would be above reproach, God, in all that we do. We thank you, Father. Watch over us. Draw us to you. Draw us to each other, God, as a community. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you? Just encourage them. God bless you today. Enjoy some refreshments. And we'll see you at morning prayer this week. Huh? Oh, if you sign up for training for inner healing, deep wounds, deep healing is down.